Hello, hello. So like I was so wonderfully introduced, my name is Kelsey. I come from eSurance, which if you don't know us, that is an online-based insurance company. We sell both home and auto insurance online and have partners that help us sell things like vision insurance or health insurance, things like that, life insurance. And like my bio kind of states, I come from a pretty eclectic background myself. So I did not go to school for marketing. It was never fully in the plans. I actually went to school for fashion merchandising. But what fashion merchandising taught me when I started my career was actually how to analyze performance of things. So my first job coming out of college was to literally have to buy plan a fashion collection and understand how it performed, how much money we made, what we were going to sell again. And I also had to learn how to be very cross-functional working with creatives, so designers. And fashion designers are about as creative as you're going to get. So, I come from a very eclectic background. I landed in social media after doing some influencer and blogging work myself, which led me to do PR, social media management, and influencer management at a whole host of companies, both small and large. I've had the pleasure of partnering as both an influencer and an advisor for brands like Kellogg's and PepsiCo, stuff like that. And I landed at eSurance by chance, and it's been a really interesting opportunity because we're kind of a bigger company, but we're very lean. So I'm the only one with social media in my title, if that tells you anything. So I'm here today to tell you how we drove 49 million impressions through creative content creation. This is going to be a case study about how we launched our new brand positioning last August 2018 on social media, so how the social media team supported that launch. And I'm really here to show our story, and hopefully that can help you tell your story. But what I want to do first is set the scene. So setting the scene here, now we actually got our start back in 1999. We were one of the first companies to sell insurance online, so we were a disruptor in our category. Everybody back then was buying directly from an agent, so like think your Allstates, that kind of stuff. We said, no more, we don't need that. Everybody wants to be on the internet, we're gonna sell it directly to you. Now, back then, that was really revolutionary. And in 2012, we decided to rebrand to Insurance for the Modern World to really acknowledge that historical start, that we were the modern insurance company. But quite honestly, when you get to like 2016, probably even earlier than that, being on the internet is like not revolutionary. Everyone is on the internet. So we really had this moment where we had to step back and say, what actually makes us different? And that started with research. We spent years doing research, about a year and a half, 2 years doing research to understand what makes us different, but also what makes insurance so, so painful. Can you raise your hand here if you have insurance, car or home? Okay, great. Can you raise your hand if you like your insurance or like insurance at all? Big drop-off rate, right? So it's a painful category. It's a really painful category. nobody brags about liking their insurance. So in 2016, we really had to sit down and say, like, okay, we're not modern anymore, right? So what's going to make us different? And knowing that we actually can't really outspend our competitors. When you think about our competitors, I won't name all of them, but they spend 3 to 5 times more on advertising than we can or really ever can foreseeably do. At this point in time, Super Bowl commercials, the talking lizard is everywhere. So we're not going to beat them that way. We have to think how we're going to get scrappy and how we're going to get creative and how we're going to address what we think it is that people really, really want right now. So just to kind of like wrap up what these challenges are for us, it's low brand awareness and it's that people don't give a shit about insurance, really just up front. So based on our research, we actually know that people have heard our name. So raise your hand again if you've heard of eSurance. Okay. Now raise your hand again if you actually like know what our tagline is right now. Yeah. That's what I thought. So that's our challenge. It's right here in this room, right? It's the fact that, you know, you might have heard of our name, but you might not know what we stand for. So we need to figure out how we're going to get past that. And then the second truth that is absolutely undeniable is that people don't care about insurance. It's a very set it and forget it kind of a category. I am not selling makeup. I'm not selling, you know, beverages. I'm selling insurance. And that's, you know, it's not sexy. So we needed to figure out how we're going to get people to care. And that's where we came up with our new brand positioning in August of 2018. And it's surprisingly painless. So eSurance seeks to make insurance simple, transparent, and affordable. and that's making it surprisingly painless. So this is what we stand for now, but how was social media going to help launch Surprisingly Painless back in August of 2018? And again, coming back down to what our challenges really are, where it's all about low brand awareness and the fact that nobody cares, we really needed to come up with a strategy that would address our two biggest challenges. So we thought to ourselves, okay, mass awareness, and I'm bringing this all back to content creation, right? If you know that you need to create content for a campaign, you need to think about how many people you actually have to reach, because that's going to dictate to you where you're gonna put your content, whether that's the platform you're gonna put it on or the actual way you're gonna format your content. So that's what we had to do. We sat here, we said, we need mass awareness. What does that mean? A really high impact social unit. It might mean it's a shorter flight time just for our launch day or our launch week, but we know it needs to reach a lot of people and it needs to do it all at once. We need to find something that's gonna be really high impact and reach the most amount of people possible. And then we also knew we needed to find a way to get people to care about something that nobody cares about at all, especially on social media. No one is talking about social media they're not talking about insurance on social media. So if you go on Twitter, the average number of messages I have to answer in a day is like 2. It's literally 2. My customer service team is answering about 49. And it's because everybody that is talking about us or hates insurance. So we had to find out a way to get people to care about something that, again, no one wants to talk about. So we sat the social media team in the room. I recruited some people, not just myself. So we had my creative designers, we had a couple agency partners, and we sat down to really think about how we were gonna get people to care and what is it that people want today? Do they want insurance or do they want honesty? So we decided we'll be honest. This isn't really a social media specific pillar. This is actually part of Surprisingly Painless in general. Like I said, transparency is one of our new brand pillars. That means honesty. But when you think about what of those pillars is going to work on social media, it's definitely not simple. Can be complicated on social media. It's honesty, it's transparency. So the way that we thought we would go about it is to actually go really meta. So I'll show you what our campaign looked like and how we went meta. But the whole point of being meta was actually acknowledging the one thing that most advertisers refuse to acknowledge, which is that we paid for it. We decided to be really honest. So what did we actually do? So I'll talk through a few things here. I'll talk through what it was that we actually did, the unit itself, and I'll talk through the performance of that unit, and then I'll also talk about the impact it had at the end of the day. So what we decided to do was do a promoted trend. Again, thinking back to that higher impact social unit, the biggest platforms out there right now are Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, the three kings, everybody knows it, right? And we thought about where are trends happening? Where are launches happening? You go to Facebook because you want to stalk your ex-boyfriend and you want to know what your grandma's up to, right? She's playing Candy Crush, no surprise. You go to Instagram to be inspired, it's visual eye candy, right? Where do you go for news or for launches or to learn new things? That's Twitter. And they're actually working really hard right now to brand themselves as that. So we tapped into that after having a discussion with them and thought about the promoted trend. So Twitter, with their promoted trend, it's a really high impact unit. I don't know if you guys are active Twitter users. How many people think they are active on Twitter? Okay, cool. So you know what the promoted trend is. So as you have your trended list there, if you promote, it's a full 24 hours, and you'll reach everybody that is active on Twitter that day. Twitter estimates right now that they have about 321 million monthly active users. So if you think about even reaching like a slice of those people, that was going to be mass awareness. So that's why we chose the promoted trend itself. And then when you also think back to wanting to be honest, there's really nowhere that is more hashtag honest than Twitter on the internet. People get, yeah, I've heard that you have a really active Twitter account. So it's the place that you get honest, right? It's the place that you go to talk about news and politics and express your opinion and all of that stuff. People are getting really honest on this platform. So it felt like the perfect place to go meta. And this is what it looked like. So this is a mobile screenshot of what the trend itself looked like. This is the birth of hashtag Surprisingly Painless. We launched this the day of our launch. I think that was like August 21st. Don't quiz me. August 21st of 2018. And promoted it for a full 24 hours. And our copy, again, we sat down with the copy team and thought, like, okay, you have one moment to hook people, right? You have one moment. This is your chance to get them to click through to your trend. Otherwise, like, they don't even get what this is about. So we kept it short and sweet and very meta. We paid to promote this so you'd click and see our ad with Dennis Quaid. So Dennis Quaid on this day was also announced as our new spokesperson. We had a launch film. Boom, that's what it looked like. So we actually had two different versions of our launch film. We had a 30-second and a 145, which both sound horrifyingly long for social media. We'll talk about it. That's scrappy, right? Don't have a 15-second cut. That's all I got. So that's what we worked with. But again, we kept it really meta. So we paid to promote this tweet so you'll watch our ad with Dennis Quaid, letting you know we're making insurance hashtag surprisingly painless. Hopefully it worked. So yeah, we only had this one little moment to get people in. Usually on my team, when our agency and other partners come to us wanting to promote something, the first thing they talk about to get people to click on our stuff is giving away free crap. That's like the first thing everyone comes to me with. They say, hey, Kelsey, do you want to do a giveaway? Hey, Kelsey, do you want to do a sweepstakes? That's actually not, it's painful to have to tell someone. It's not going to get you what you want at the end of the day. So when we sat down and had to brainstorm this, that's the kind of thought that we were fighting against, which is the only way we're going to get people to care about us is if we give them free crap. So we decided to go the honest route, and this is how it played out for us. So obviously the title of my session today completely gives away the performance. Surprise! 49 million impressions. But yeah, if you take a look at the performance, the team was really ecstatic that we reached so many people in general. Obviously, that's a lot of impressions for us specifically. But coming back to my merchandising background and thinking about the stuff that gets me excited, I get excited when I have some sort of a benchmark to pitch myself against. And a huge tip I would tell you guys is that if you do have reps or partners, either at agencies or other team members with history and experience, partners at the social platforms themselves, always ask for a benchmark so that way you can pitch it against that, even if you have no other history to understand how you're doing. We had never done a promoted trend before. It was sort of like a pray moment. But having a benchmark really told us that we did really well. So the actual trend itself was on the higher end of financial services benchmarks for the promoted trend for Twitter. Financial services as a category includes like banks, credit cards, loan companies, stuff like that. So those were all the people we were up against, like Capital One, Wells Fargo, right? All these other companies in addition to other insurance companies, and found that we actually were on the high end of the impression count for the promoted trend itself. And then when we came to look at the companion tweet, which was that thing that you clicked over to and got to watch the video, it actually outperformed financial services benchmarks. And this is where I think it's a really interesting conversation around video lengths and how they can work for you, and how sometimes shorter isn't always the best way to go. I think it's about testing and learning. Our launch film was really important to us. If it was anything but a launch film, I think we would have pushed really hard for like a 15 or even like a 10 second video. But when you're relaunching an entire brand, this is your moment. This is your moment to tell them what it is that you stand for. So, when you think about that commercial that we had with Dennis Quaid, it's like he's literally walking you through the steps that make insurance surprisingly painless. Then he does this whole joke where he's very meta and says, now I'm walking off into the sunset, cue the end of the commercial, all this kind of stuff. So the actual creative itself was very meta. We acknowledge we paid for it. And looking at the percent of watch times, the 30 second obviously performed better in terms of like just having the highest number of video completions. But I'm not really a mathematician, but if you actually take a look at how many people got to like the 25% mark of our 145, that is a way higher commitment than having to watch 25% of a 30. So these people are incredibly, incredibly engaged. These are like the most engaged people that you're gonna find. And that's the type of like message that I would give to any higher up or executive or manager, is that that's, it's okay if they get through 25% of your 145. They've already hit your brand message by that point. Whereas 25% of a 30, we probably just walked in and said, hey, I'm Dennis Quaid, and then like walked out. So it's just something to think about. I thought it was really interesting that we saw pretty solid engagement on the 145. But what we really wanted to know was the actual impact of it. When we sat down for the goal of this campaign, obviously it was mass awareness and reach. We were launching a new brand, but it was also nobody knows who we are or what we stand for, and nobody talks about us. Nobody talks to us. So we saw 1.8 thousand uses of our hashtag on Twitter the actual day of. As you can see, this is up from zero. So that was a lot for us. We had people talking to us. And the next slide is my absolute favorite. I love that people were happy, because the average tweet that I get is like, F you, Esurance, like, y'all suck. Like, that, you know, that's like every day. So I'm like, okay, customer advocacy team, you got that one. I'm not going to answer that. I clicked hashtag surprisingly painless. Most transparent ad ever today on Twitter. I have to renew my insurance in a month. I just moved to LA. We're dealing with the DMV is not surprisingly painless, but I'll have to give you guys a test drive to see how surprisingly painless your insurance really is. And then this one on the very end is my complete favorite of all time. Honesty worked. For the first time since the creation of the promoted tweet, I clicked one. Nailed it. So, as you can see here, sentiment-wise, if I was to give you guys a peek into our Hootsuite account, this is usually like 50%. So it's like half and half. Someone had a great call with a customer service agent, and they're praising that individual person, or they got like a better quote for us than they did like Geico or Progressive. But 88% is like mind-blowing in our category, mind-blowing. So people were really positive about this. We didn't have, you know, the negativity that we typically see in an insurance company. And then the other thing that was interesting was, who are you reaching? That's the other part that you have to think about when you're picking your platform, right? So Facebook, in talking about stalking your ex-boyfriend or your grandma playing Candy Crush, that's usually an older, slightly older demographic. Snapchat, 75% of their users are actually under the age of 25, so we can't really touch that with a 10-foot pole right now, just because that's not where they're not even driving, really. And then Twitter actually fell right into the sweet spot, which was awesome. So their demographic in general does skew sort of like late millennial. We're targeting 25 to 49. That's exactly the person that we're really trying to target, is that later millennial that maybe is buying their first house, maybe has a car, thinking about the first kid. So we actually were able to reach our target market 25 plus square on, which was awesome. But what we're all here to talk about is, what did we learn from all of this? So the first takeaway, and I know that it sounds so like social media 101 that you actually have to know where you're going, but I want to bring this back to what this track specifically is about, which is content creation, right? We want to learn how to create better content. We want to know how to brainstorm content. And honestly, it's really easy right now to just jump into an assignment and start brainstorming and think, okay, I'm going to do this giveaway. I'm going to do this sweepstakes. I'm going to do this post. But what you really need to stop and do is actually pause to think about what it is that you're trying to achieve at the end of this campaign. And not only so that you can speak to your manager or your executive and tell them that it went well, right? But just so that you can brainstorm where it is you're even going to put this content, what that content is going to look like, who it's going to talk to, who do you think will engage with it. So it's really about bringing it back to content. And if we hadn't sat down to really think about how many people we actually needed for a brand relaunch, we wouldn't have thought about a Twitter promoted trend at all. That's a really big unit. We probably just would have posted to our Facebook like normal. It was a way different situation, and we knew we needed to get mass awareness. So the other piece of focusing on your KPIs is also being able to tell your executive it worked or it didn't, and this is what I learned. So you really have to know where you're going. My biggest tip is to sit down with your team and say, like, what is it that we want to get out of this whole thing at the end of the day? And the second piece, for us, honesty is a brand pillar. You know, simple, transparent, and affordable. For us, that's literally part of our company motto. But for everybody in the room here, it's actually just a reality of today's market. We live in a time where it is really hard to trust anything. People don't trust brands. People barely trust our government. Distrust is at an all-time high. So this is a huge, huge takeaway just from a marketplace observation, is that honesty works, transparency works, being meta works. So for us, we got about as meta as we could be. We just admit that we paid for it. You don't have to be quite that honest, but thinking about how you can get more transparent and how you can be upfront with your potential customers and people on social is absolutely huge. And again, bringing it back to content creation, by understanding our brand pillars and honesty being the one that we chose, we were able to literally throw that up on a whiteboard and ideate underneath it. How can we be honest? What type of content is honest? what unit is honest? How can we live our brand mission through a specific content activation? And for us, that was honesty. And then the last thing I will say is everyone freaking loves Dennis Quaid. He's very popular. So might have been why it worked. But I think honesty and transparency and really understanding where you're going was why we had so much success here. It really helped us not only explain why it worked, but it actually helped us create content and be able to ideate in a way that we weren't like paying for people to come and interact with us. We weren't giving them free stuff. We got them to actually talk to us in a really relevant way for an insurance company. Insurance. So yeah, that's our case study. But I would love to answer any questions that you guys have. Yeah. It's not that.
And then, departing from it,
yeah.
And just saying, hey, we paid for this. How did that conversation go?
Totally. So I'll be honest that we had the benefit of it being a brand relaunch. So that helped me. That played on my side because it was sort of like a moment to wipe the slate clean, right? So we hadn't talked like that before, but it was an opportunity for us to say, okay, upper management, you spent 2 years coming up with this brand voice that we've now spent even more months trying to clarify, and you swear to me that honesty is part of it. Let's do it. Let's live it. So I'm very lucky that I didn't have opposition in that way. There weren't really barriers for that. What I would say was a big barrier was actually just investing in a high-impact unit like that because you kind of have one moment, right? That is your one moment to try it, and it's for 24 hours, and it's money. Like, we had to pay for it. We're not going to trend organically because we're insurance. But what we thought about was more how can you test even in those moments? And I think that gave my upper management some confidence and some comfort. So we running those two, even the two different video lengths, is not how Twitter usually does a promoted trend. It's usually you get one type of copy and one unit. And we said, okay, because it's new for us, because we're a little bit nervous that we're doing something different, can we test like two different video lengths, even with two different, you know, copy options? And then they were able to auto-optimize to the one that performed the best, which gave our upper management a ton of comfort. So I would say that if you are facing those obstacles, any way that you can sort of do those tests and learn are really helpful. Yeah. Hello. Yeah, it's a great question. So what we're doing now is trying to figure out how do you do this on a smaller scale. And I think the biggest challenge that we have as a team, I literally just got out of a meeting with my manager about this right before I left, which is we're constantly being pushed to tell our brand story without, like, telling our brand story, right? So, like, nobody actually wants to read, like, okay, so eSurance started in 1999. Like, no one cares, right? So how are we reinforcing this stuff, you know, being surprisingly painless, in content that actually isn't about like the history of eSurance? So what we've decided to do is we actually created a social playbook. So I worked with our agency partners and we established social specific content pillars. Honesty is one of them. And then we also have pain relief. So under that, it's like tips and tricks, DIYs, money saving, you know, things, road trip ideas, like anything that we can do to make somebody's life surprisingly painless. The honesty one is sort of like company, you know, exposés, like peeling back the curtain on any glossary terms that people don't understand. Like, I actually don't know what escrow means. Does anybody, like, want to tell me? I don't know. So we actually have a really successful content series on Facebook where we do glossary terms, and that sounds like the most boring thing on the planet, but it has the highest engagement rate out of all of our content. On average, we get about, like, 12% engagement. We pay for it. It's all boosted, I'll be honest. But the glossary term posts consistently get like 14 or 15%, and it's because it's such relevant engagement and people share it, and that's how we're being honest. We're not going to sit here and tell you like, okay, we're going to say escrow and pretend that you know what it means. We're literally going to give you the definition and do it in the way that like a kindergartner could understand. So we're more trying to think about how we do this in smaller ways that emphasize like what it is that we're trying to stand for now. You know, if it's complicated, we don't do it. If it's dishonest or confusing, we don't do it. If it's painful, we don't do it. So having those content pillars has allowed us to ideate even with, like, smaller activations that aren't this big. Because this was definitely, like, a big yay. One-time thing. Thank you. Yeah.
How did you guys go about deciding what the brand pillars were?
What the brand pillars were? My manager was really into the brand pillar piece, but from what I've heard, we actually have a research and innovation team, so we have a few like really smart people that held so many case studies to just understand like why people hate insurance so much. Not even like e-surance, just why people hate insurance. On a smaller level, in my past jobs, I wish that we had done that more. You don't need a whole research team to ask people what's painful or what's not working for them. You just have to ask your customers. You can even do that in such easy ways now from like Instagram stories, polls, things like that. So that's how they came up with it. They actually sat everybody in a room and they had a bunch of different focus groups over like a year and a half to 2 years to identify like what is painful for people. For the most part, everyone thinks they're getting ripped off. Like, I don't know if anyone in this room has bought insurance and been like, yeah, totally got everything I needed. Like, I have no idea if I'm covered. So they don't really know, like, if they're covered. They feel like they got ripped off. They feel like they're being jaded, like we're talking in terms that they don't understand, and it's intentional. And then they feel price sensitive. Like, the number one thing with insurance is price. So all of those brand pillars actually came out of this huge, like, year and a half of research and surveys and focus groups and things like that. Which I just think is a great example that even like on a small scale, everybody could be doing and having those gut checks like every 6 months to a year, just to ensure that like you are addressing what your actual customers care about and you're speaking to them and you can develop your brand pillars from that. Yeah. Sure. Totally. That's a good question. I would say that you need to revisit, for social media specifically, I can't speak for a whole brand, like we take a double look at our content pillars and our playbook probably every like 6 months, just to gut check that it's doing what we need to do. My job specifically, I play this interesting role where I'm part strategist, but then I also handle all of the analysis of everything. I'm pulling every report myself, I'm doing all of that analysis. So it's really easy for me, because I'm a one-man show for that, I get to say, okay, we have this one pillar called eSurance Life. Like, it's our least performing pillar, right? So to me, I've got two choices after having 6 months of doing posts under that content pillar, where it's like, are employees volunteering? Are employees posing with a cutout of Dennis Quaid? You know, if that gets low engagement after a certain amount of time, we need to sit down and revisit that, right? If that's getting 5% engagement when everything else is getting 12, we either need to reevaluate that content pillar as a whole, or we need to get creative and think about how we're going to make it work, because that feels important to directors and the brand as a whole. So yeah, we definitely do that gut check. I do monthly reporting right now, just on like whatever amplifications happened that month. And then I also participate in our quarterly business review. So that's where I have to like dial it in and present it out to the entire marketing team.